Well, as it says in your bulletin this morning, we'll be looking at Psalm 142. But I'd actually like to, for those of you who would like to, I would like to set the context a little bit of this psalm. So if you're willing to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10, which is on page 312 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 142 is the only psalm in the last three books of the Psalter that has a historical title. And it says that this was a miktam of David when he was hiding in a cave. And so to give a little bit of context, I just thought it would be helpful to read this. So 1 Samuel 21, starting at verse 10. And David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of his gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. So David here is fleeing for his life from Saul, who is pursuing him, who wants to kill him. He wants to kill him so badly that he threw a spear at his own son, who was defending David. And we see this is one instance. There are two instances where David is hiding in a cave from Saul. There's another instance in the next chapter, in chapter 24, where he's hiding in a cave and Saul, with 3,000 men searching for him, come to the mouth of this cave. And if you would, turn to Psalm 142, and we'll now read our main text for this sermon. But I hope that gives you a sense of the situation that David is in when he writes this psalm, when he's praying, crying out to God in the midst of this cave, being pursued, fleeing for his life from Saul. So let's read Psalm 142. And that, if you didn't see in your bulletin, that's on page 664 in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 142. A Maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see there is no one who takes notice of me. No refuge remains for me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. So what descriptor would you give for David as he is here in this cave, as he pleads to God here, as recorded in Psalm 142? There could be many, many ways you describe his situation, his feeling, his cry. But one word that came multiple times as I was thinking about this text and as I was reading commentaries was this cry was described as a pathetic cry. And when I first read that and thought about that, I was a little taken aback. We almost always use pathetic as a negative. And I thought, maybe that's taking it a little bit too far. But really, as I thought more about it, as I read this psalm, as I thought about the situation that David was in, that he is also surrounded by various people described as in distress, in debt, bitter in soul, and Saul the king is coming after him again and again as he goes from cave to cave and wilderness to wilderness seeking his life. And then David says in this psalm, I cry, I plead to the Lord, I pour my complaint, I tell my trouble, my spirit faints, no one notices me, no one cares, I am brought very low, they are too strong for me. As I read these words, I thought more and more that yes, this is a pathetic cry. And really, many of our cries to God are pathetic. We will probably not ever go through a time where we are a fugitive, where we're on the run for our lives like David was, though our brothers and sisters in other countries who we just prayed for do experience these things at many times. But we still feel this. We still go through trouble, through distress. We feel our need and weakness so strongly at times. And actually, the first dictionary definition of pathetic is arousing pity, especially through vulnerability or sadness. As in, she looked so pathetic that I bent down to comfort her. You and I, we have pathetic cries, and we are to give our pathetic cries to our God, our Heavenly Father, who cares and who answers, who hears our complaints, our concerns. So let us see in the psalm how David does that, that he goes to God in trouble. He appeals to God when he feels like no earthly person cares for him. How he, in his weakness, cries to God his refuge, and how he praises God, confident that God hears and answers him. We as a church are, in a sense, a pathetic group. And to an extent, we are like David and the men around him. We are, in some cases, in distress, in debt, bitter in soul. You and I are weak and needy and troubled. We get lonely. And when you feel this way, turn to God. When you are distressed, cry out to him. I was thinking about this pathetic cry that David has and thinking about my own pathetic cries to God. It's like a sick infant who is desperately crying but can almost bring nothing out of their mouth. For you who are parents or who have been around a child that you've cared for, perhaps your niece or nephew or your best friend's child who's weak and sick, maybe they have a pathetic, raspy cry. They cry out for help in their weakness, but they can barely make a sound. Is your response to that going to be, just ignore that cry? Oh, it's barely a cry. It's a pathetic. I don't want to deal with that. I suspect that your heart would break for that child, that you would do anything that you could to help and to comfort him or her. And similarly to what Jesus said about earthly parents giving good things to their children, if you then, being evil, desire to comfort and care for a child like this, how much more what does your Heavenly Father comfort and care for you after hearing your pathetic cries? So then, when you are distressed, lift your pathetic cries to God, your refuge. When you are distressed, lift your pathetic cries to God, your refuge. And we see in verses 1 and 2, David's trouble. We can take from this, when you are troubled, pour out your concerns to God. Don't keep them in. Don't take them to political authorities or other leaders or try to do things on your own. Cry out, pour out your concerns to God. Verses 1 and 2, again, with David says, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. David cries out. It seems like most likely that he cried out loud to God. And he calls his pleas both troubles and complaints. And we also are to bring our complaints, our troubles, and our concerns and our agonies to God. God is the only one who can do something about our complaints, about our concerns. And he is the only one who can truly grant us mercy and peace. And we see from later in the psalm that David doesn't just generally bring his concerns before God. He is specific in telling God what is going on, his trouble that he is in. Most likely he did it more than even we see written in this psalm. But even here we see that he is concerned about his enemies who are pursuing him, who are laying traps for him. He is feeling abandoned, that no one cares for him, that no person and no thing, no house, no cave can be his refuge. He admits his own weakness and his enemy's strength. And you too should be specific in giving your specific concerns, your complaints, your distresses to God. He already knows those specifics, but he has told us to tell him these things, to bring these things to him, because he cares for you. And even if you're too weary and too weak to specify your needs, to cry out to him, he prays for you. I have a friend who went through years of intense pain. She had multiple surgeries. She was on opioids for multiple years. And eventually, after she finally had a successful surgery that was beginning to relieve her pain, she had to wean off these opioids that she was taking for years. And she had horrible withdrawal symptoms. And one night, her withdrawal symptoms and her distress, her discomfort, her pain was so intense that she had to get down on the floor. And she wanted to pray to God, but she couldn't. She wanted to cry, but she couldn't. She just said, God, I don't know how to pray right now. Would you please pray for me? And he did. You can do the same. It's good to pray specifically when you can, but when you're not able to even say the things that are on your hearts, cry out to God who helps us, helps you in your weakness. And when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for you. Now you must cry out to God, your God. And I ask, is he your God? I hope and I trust that he is for many of you, but for any of you who don't yet have this ability to call out to God, your Heavenly Father, turn to him, repent, confess your sins, recognize him as the King, the Lord of your life. Another thing, when you are feeling distressed, when you are feeling trouble, when you're feeling stressed out about things, you can use those as a trigger, as a marker to point you to God. When you're feeling overwhelmed with stress, immediately, when you have those thoughts coming into your mind, turn to God. Use those things to point you to God. One specific way in which God cries out to God is because he feels alone, that he feels that no one cares for him. And you too, as we see, especially in verses 3 and 4, when you are alone, when you are lonely, plead to the Lord who knows and cares. In verses 3 and 4, David says, when my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains for me. No one cares for my soul. David, even though he has these people with him in the cave, maybe these aren't people, especially initially, that he really wants to be around. These are a bunch of malcontents, a bunch of people, like we read in 1 Samuel 22, that were in distress, who were in debt, who were bitter in soul, that gathered to David. And David is a criminal in his own country. He has a bounty on his head. He has no legal recourse on his side as he runs from Saul. And then it seems like this bunch of other ragtag bunch of criminals comes and gathers around him. And David feels like he has no person that he can count on who can really be his refuge. Even this cave that he's hiding in. We didn't read it, but in 1 Samuel 24, as I mentioned, Saul comes to the mouth of this cave with 3,000 men seeking David's life. And surely, initially, when Saul did that, David must have felt some panic, realizing that Saul, who wants me dead, is out there with 3,000 men, and I've got a couple of hundred guys with me. Even this cave that David was hiding in didn't truly give him refuge. So David turned to God, because God is his refuge. When he was lonely, when he felt isolated, when he felt like no one cared, he turned to his Father. And this year, I think for us, for many of us at least, everyone that I've talked to, this has further revealed and compounded loneliness and isolation. The COVID things that we've had to deal with for this past almost year. People haven't been able to gather together for family gatherings, even for things like funerals and weddings in many cases. Even for a time, not even being able to gather together to worship God corporately. So perhaps you have felt this more intensely in this past year, at least at times, that you're isolated, that you don't have people that you can be around. You don't have people who care for you. Well, God is with you. Paul experienced this, experienced people abandoning him. He talked about that at the end of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he said, "At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me." Well, God was with Paul. God, as Paul later said in the next verses, "The Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." God is also with you. He cares for you. You can always go to him. When your spirit faints, cry out to him. When you are weak and tired and weary and lonely, God, who is all-powerful and knows every hair on your head, he is with you and he will remain with you. He will guide you and uphold you, like he cared for David, like he cared for Paul in those verses I read from 2 Timothy. We also see that David cries out in his weakness to God, his refuge. And we see that in the end of the psalm here, in the second half of verse, I want to read the second half of verse 5 through verse 7. David says, "Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me." Again, David cries out to God. He recognizes him as his Lord, his refuge. "I cry to you, O Lord, I say you are my refuge." As David is brought low, he sees his need for God. He sees his own weakness and goes to God, who is strong. This word that he uses, "I am brought very low," the Hebrew word, the root word is dalal, and it literally has the meaning of becoming small or being small or tiny. to be small or weak or needy. And David recognized his smallness, his weakness. He actually, during his flight from Saul in 1 Samuel, he twice refers to himself as a flea. He says in 1 Samuel 24:14, "After whom does the king of Israel come out? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea?" David recognizes that he is weak and he needs God, the all-powerful God who cares for him, to deliver him from Saul and his pursuers, his enemies, who are stronger than him. You also call out to God in your weakness. Recognize your weakness. Don't try to do everything in your own strength because you can't. You will fail. I have experienced that, trying to do things on my own, and I fall flat on my face. You probably have too. You've probably been in situations as well where there's nothing you can do physically to help someone else or even to help yourself when you're weak and in distress. It was almost exactly 2 years ago that my sister Tamara called our family in the evening, and we knew that she had gone into the doctor to get an MRI, and she said, "They want me to have surgery right away. They found a huge brain tumor." And I just remember when getting that call, I was in the kitchen and I just fell to the floor because I knew there was nothing I could do. I fell to the floor and I prayed with her. And then my wife and I, we prayed together, called out to God in our weakness, in our distress, to care for my sister in that case, as well as my family, as we were struggling with the reality of this news. Even Jesus, the creator and the ruler of the universe, he cried out to God, his Father, in his weakness and in his distress. He was in agony in Gethsemane before he was to go to the cross. And he said, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death." And he asked his disciples to watch and to pray with him. But as you may remember, they all were tired and they fell asleep. In a way, they abandoned him. And Jesus, in this situation, he fell on his face, praying and crying out to God 3 times. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." He prayed earnestly in agony, his sweat like great drops of blood. And yet, even then, he prayed for his Father's will, as we should also. He said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." God the Father, in his perfect plan, did not deliver Jesus from the suffering and death on the cross. Rather, he sent them there to die in your and my place, to take our sin upon himself, to die as a perfect sacrifice, to be abandoned by his Father, taking his Father's wrath, which you and I deserved, upon himself, as he became sin for us, that we who believe in him might have his righteousness. This is what we will, in a few minutes, be remembering Christ's body broken for us, his blood shed, dripping down his face, down his body, for you and for me, as was prayed about earlier. So we remember that in Christ, not being delivered from this agony, in that you and I were delivered from the eternal agony and suffering in hell that our sins deserve, and given a place in heaven to be with God and in the new heavens and the new earth one day after Jesus returns. But here on earth, the reality is we will suffer, and we will suffer with him to an extent. He has told us to expect it even. And when you do, turn to him who understands and cares. As you await that day, as you await heaven, as you wait for Christ's return, as you experience the struggles and the suffering, the pain and sorrow, which is the reality of living in this sinful world, Remember that God is with you. God has given you the church as well. And David talks about that. He talks about at the end of this psalm, in the end of verse 7, he says, "The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me." So praise your good God who will surround you with his people. David knows that God is good. He knows that he will deal bountifully with him. He trusts that God will, as he promised, eventually raise David up as king. David also trusts God that eventually he will be surrounded by the righteous, and he will be able to tell them about what God did for him. Tell about the deliverance that God, the deliverance that God delivered David, the way that he delivered David. Even in this group of distressed, indebted, bitter men that David is with, these men rose up to be David's mighty men. They're a complicated group, but they were fiercely loyal to David. God used them to help David defeat his enemies, to help David ensure that David, the anointed king, was raised up as king, and even to ensure that his son Solomon was crowned as king after him. And we see when David is crowned as king, first of Judah, then of all Israel, all of the tribes of Israel gather around David, making him their king. And shortly thereafter, they joined David and rejoiced with him as he brought the Ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. God raised up David as king over all Israel, and he surrounded him with the righteous, with the Old Testament church, if you will. And David not only told them about God's deliverance of him, but he gave them and he gave us psalms to sing and praise to God about his care and his deliverance and his power. Thinking again about the story that I told you about my friend who was crying out to God to pray for her when she didn't have the words, when she couldn't do it herself, as she dealt with the distress of withdrawal symptoms from these opiate pain medications. When she did that, the verse, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," went through her head over and over again. And she said she experienced this great peace and comfort and presence of God with her in this distress in a way that she had never experienced before and has never experienced it since. She said it was the most amazing experience of her life. And that when she was in this point of her greatest distress, that God came with her and gave her the greatest joy and hope and peace that she had ever experienced. It was the kind of thing, she said, that made her look forward to heaven. She also talked about the encouragement of God's people being with her and helping her as she went through these years of intense pain, many times not even being able to get up out of her bed. God's people would come and they would pray with her. They would sit with her. They would cry with her. They would remind her of God's promises. You can go to God's people. You have this church here, people who love and care for you. And you also can care and love for others who are in distress. Because we are weak and needy. We need God the Father most of all. But we need each other here in the church as well. Perhaps you're not dealing with intense struggles, intense weakness, intense turmoil like David is dealing with in this psalm. Then maybe God wants you to go to someone else who is dealing with things that you know about, or maybe you don't know about them and you just want to ask them, "I see that you look like you've been looking like you're down these past couple of Sundays. Is there anything I can do? Anything I can pray for you?" But ultimately, you and I, we must go to God. He is the one who helps us. And when we give our pathetic cries to the Lord, he hears us. He helps us and he cares for us. Like he cared for his son, raising him up from the dead after his suffering and giving him the name above every name. Like he cared for David when David cried out his pathetic cry to the Lord. He cried to his refuge when he was in distress and God cared for him. Well, I love the Psalms in general, and I've loved studying this psalm in particular. There are many things that I find powerful and amazing about this psalm, and one of those is that we get to see David's prayer here. It tells us that he was in this cave when he prayed this prayer, and not only do we get to see his prayer, his crying out to God in distress and trusting God to answer, we even get to see that God answers him, that God protects him, comforts him, and delivers him from his enemies. Psalm 18, which is a psalm, it says, this is a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My rock in whom I take refuge, shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." And then he goes on to recount how God saved him, how he delivered him from his enemies. And David praises his name and gives him glory, as you and I also should. But I just think it's amazing that we not only have the prayer, we have the answer to the prayer recorded for us in God's word. And I hope that seeing not only David's cry and his trust in God, but also in seeing God's answering David's cries, that that is encouraging to you. And not only that you feel that you can do this, but that you actually do this, that you pour out your concerns to God who cares. And knowing that you can trust God, your refuge, that you can cry out to him, knowing that he cares, that he answers you, then when you are troubled, pour out your concerns to your God. When you are alone, appeal to the Lord who knows and cares. When you are weak, cry out to God, your refuge and your deliverer, and praise your good God who will surround you with his people. So when you are distressed, lift your pathetic cries to God, your refuge. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you that you are our refuge. Lord, I thank you that you hear our prayers, that you want us to cry out to you, that you use our prayers to accomplish your purposes. That, Lord, that your strength is shown, your greatness is shown in our weakness. I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, we can cry to you, we can pour out our concerns, our complaints to you, knowing that you are listening to us, knowing that you answer us, knowing that you will accomplish your good and perfect plan, your good and perfect purposes, Lord, even through our prayers. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your Son, that we can pray to you through Jesus who died for us. Lord, I pray that you would encourage all of us to do that every day, that we would cry out to you, that we would spend not just once a day, but throughout the day we would be praying to you. We would be crying out to you. We would be praising you and glorifying your name in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your being such a loving and caring God. Lord, that you are our refuge. I pray that we would, that none of us would look to others, put an idol in your place, look to something else or someone else for our refuge, but that we would only look to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.